Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 A Game. It's 7:03 here on the morning shift. Beautiful, beautiful weather yesterday. Hopefully you guys had a chance to get outside and enjoy it. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the morning shift. My name is Mike Johnson. That's Squidbilly, Bo Morgan, Allie Mack, and Dylan on the ones and twos, and also just allowing us to know who won the buzzer for the trivia just a minute ago. So he's the buzzer judge from back behind the glass.
I thought you were Dong and I was Ding and she was Ali.
I don't know. Rob and Big still seems to fit. We'll come up with something at some point. She had a lot of them yesterday.
I know, and she was kind of rapid fire, and some of them.
Did you? In my brain, you said Lilo and Stitch yesterday.
Like, that's a good one. I liked Hubs and Thugs.
I think it's Pinky and the Brain.
I heard Timon and Pumbaa at one point. I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly. Anyway, man. So happy to be with you guys, riding around in your car on your way to work, whatever it is, man. Hopefully, you got a cup of coffee in your hand and you're enjoying life, like we are here in the Kia Studios. Yesterday, and look, maybe you're passing Flyer Branch on your way in. Maybe you're on 985 or 85, and you're just rolling down into town, coming to work. Yesterday, the coordinators met with the media, and there was one thing that I want to ask you guys about that stood out to me. And Joe Patrick is the one that asked this question, and let me make sure I'm framing it correctly. All right, Ben Johnson, as you know, comes from Detroit. He is the head coach now for the Chicago Bears. He made a comment early in the offseason about EPA. About passing EPA in the NFL and how more so than anything else, any other stat in his mind, EPA is something that controls whether or not you win or lose. It was like, everybody's like, wait, what? We've always talked about time of possession, turnover margin, everything else. Jeff Ulbrich was asked about this from Joe Patrick yesterday. Hey, is EPA the one thing that you focus on as well as a defensive coordinator?
Yeah, without a doubt. And QBR, those are the two most telling stats outside of the turnover ratio and explosives, which is such a huge shift in the way football has ever been approached. Like the best perspective I can give you, in 2015, we were the number one rush defense in the NFL for the first like 12 or 13 weeks, whatever. We ended up top five, really, really good. And 15 as a team, we didn't do as well as we would have liked, you know, and it forced me to reassess like how I approach defense, because I was classically taught in this game of you better stop the run first, you know, and it's been an evolution of myself in the last probably 10 years where do I want to stop the run? Of course I do.
There's another half of this I want to play in just a second, but let me stop it right there, Bo, and let me just ask you. Any problem with what he's saying so far? Because I think it is very much a 2025 conversation.
Any problem is I don't agree with him. No, I agree with him. We had one of the worst rush defenses the first half of last year in the NFL, and we were a team headed to the playoffs after the first half of the season.
That's crazy, right?
Okay, so it's great. It's great, but we live. And look, I'm not saying that our defense was right last year. Or I loved it, or I enjoyed watching. But what I'm trying to tell you is we were going to the playoffs with a defense that lived on shrinking the field. And when we shrunk the field, it was because we basically allowed teams to jam it down our throat until they got in the red area.
Yes,
and then we tightened up because we took advantage of quarterback mistakes. We took advantage of quarter QBR.
Smaller windows.
Yeah, where we were able to tighten things up. So how can I sit here and disagree with the fact that stopping the run is the key to winning, while it feels right to say that because that is everything we've ever been taught about the game?
Yes.
The numbers don't necessarily bear out that that's the truth anymore. I'm not saying it hurts.
Right.
Because there's nothing better than shutting down the run early on in a series and getting a team in third and long and then pinning your ears back and coming after the guy.
And I think the main thing to captivate here, and I want to get to this next cut, but the main thing to captivate is that you are always going to be attacked by what your weaknesses are. Right. If you are a team that is focused on stopping the run, guess what? Teams are probably not going to try to run the ball on you too much. He was also asked, and I get it. Some old school people riding around in the car right now, they say, Mike, about time of possession. Well, he was asked about that too.
I think the one thing about run defense that doesn't always get quantified in statistics is time of possession. Like, if you're not stopping the run, you're limiting time of possession for your offense, and that can be a problem, although it doesn't necessarily show up on a stat sheet, you know. But I would say that my focus is primarily stopping the pass, you know. Do I spend time on the run game? I do. Do we do run fits out there? We do. Do we detail out our run fits? Absolutely. You know, but if I'm going to spend my day is at the very least 60% pass, 40% run, if not more that way. Just understanding that's the game we play nowadays.
Isn't that crazy, man? Isn't like just I'm not 40 yet, but I'm an old soul when it comes to football thought processing. And just hearing an NFL defense coordinator say he's 60-40 lean on stopping the pass blew my mind. I was like, it's crazy to even hear. And I think we all knew that, but it's just crazy to hear him actually put it on a microphone.
This has literally happened in my time in sports radio and the sports, you know, media business, is you've gone from what your base defense is. As a cliche statement to talk about defenses, what, you know, balanced offense, right? Those two things are garbage terms these days. And you can tell the people who didn't adapt with the sport when they bring up, well, you gotta, what's your base? Are you 3-4 or 4-3? Okay, well, you're out of touch. And then you go to, well, you know, you gotta have a balanced offense. You're out of touch. Because they are, and Archer's taught me this, the screen game is an extension of what, Michael?
The run game.
Okay, but guess what it shows up in the stat sheet?
Pass.
Okay, so if you don't, you have to, I can assure you that when Jeff Ulbrich's sitting down, or you tell me actually, I think that when Jeff Ulbrich's sitting down, he's not saying, well, we got to stop the run game, which includes screen passes. He's saying we got to stop the passing game, which includes screens.
Yes.
In a short passing game, which a lot of guys, a lot of teams take the short passing game. I don't mean screen, but again, I'm asking you because this is what my thought is, but I mean little shallow drags and stuff. Those plays are so, they're within 3 to 4 yards of the line of scrimmage. That's still passing, but an offensive coordinator is sitting there seeing that as an extension of the run game because of the way the offensive lineman can get downfield.
Extension's the key word, and what it is it, and look, this is something that guys like Mike Leach made famous. It's about getting your players in space, your playmakers in space, the guys that can make people miss. And that's why we were so excited coming in about Bijan catching passes, because he can make people miss in space. That's what offensive football is all about. It used to be like, oh, you know, this ball might be thrown behind him, so we don't want to try to do that. Passers are so good in the NFL now, it's like a handoff a lot of times to get out wide.
Well, and hearing all this, do you think his thought process of stopping the pass affected the Falcons' draft strategy?
No doubt.
Well, yeah, 100%. And it's not just Allie. It's not just with pass rush. That's where I want to go to the edge players and the way that they're built. That we've drafted.
Yeah.
And everyone see, you know.
The profile.
Jalen Walker is, Micah Parsons was this guy that came out, right? And I was an idiot because I said, I was living off the Vic Beasley era of undersized pass rushers. And Vic Beasley was used one way, with his hand in the dirt to go get. And he would drop back every once in a while, but it wasn't a plethora of it. And he wasn't really suited to do it for a multitude of reasons, one of which he didn't want to. But Micah Parsons, I said, no, I don't want it. He's too light, blah, blah, blah. But Micah Parsons is a guy that played in the middle of the defense at Penn State and could rush. Jalen Walker is that built from that.
Multifaceted.
He's built from that, and he can get to the edge. And he can play the edge run game and that passing outlet out there. Right?
He'll be the best defender we have in terms of the screen game you just talked about.
Yeah. And I think James Pierce has some of that, too, because of his speed. And that was one of the reasons that they loved him. He's built very similar. He just hasn't done it the same way because he was primarily edge. It's also why certain running backs get drafted in the first round, and certain ones are fifth rounders. It's why the difference in Bijan Robinson coming out of college and Tyler Algier. What was the biggest difference?
Well, there's the explosiveness, the wiggle, the ability to make people miss.
and all of that, but their ability in the passing game.
Yeah, yeah.
Jahmyr
exactly.
Gibbs and Bijan Robinson
in space
were guys that were considered they were considered dual threat running backs.
And I think Allie brings up a good point with the question about the draft strategy, because I think a lot of us, myself included, and I know there's been other people on this station and around the Atlanta media, you look at it and go, can't believe they passed on defensive tackle in this draft. Like, there's no Grady Jarrett, right? Grady Jarrett's not here. And then you passed on defensive tackle in the draft. And then hearing Jeff Holbrook's word, to Allie's point, it's like, yeah, well, no wonder we passed on defensive tackle in the draft. He's worried about stopping the pass. He's like, hey, let me go get a nickel. Let me go get a safety. Let me go get a linebacker that can rush the edge, and let me get a true edge defender. Like couldn't have been more outlined with what Jeff Ulbrich was just saying, and it lets you know that he had a heavy hand in what the draft strategy was for the Falcons this year.
Yeah, and I think when we looked at the run game, too, last year, the one of the biggest issues, everybody talked about how, you know, we got gashed up front. We have to go back more and more, and you go back and you watch and you watch and you watch, and a lot of that was we had guys in our linebackers, and when they got better at this, our run defense got better, is they refused to eat blocks. Sometimes you got to eat them and shed them, right, Mike? And,
right.
But if you run around them, now if you run around a block, the running back, if a good running back has good vision, is going to see that and see that it creates a gaping wide hole that they can just – I'll pound it through. I'm describing a football play. Yeah, I don't know what's so funny.
I'll go one step
further. I'm describing a football play, and you guys are going somewhere else.
Let me go. That's sorry. I tried to hold it together. Let me go one step further. It's not only about the running back recognizing that. It's about the running back setting it up, right? Pressing the hole is what they call it. So when a running back, you know, attacks one gap, forces that linebacker to kind of jump around the blocker that's in that gap, and he knows that he can feast by cutting back and cutting off the block he just set up. It works in the screen game. It also works in the run game. So to your point, if we're dealing with a situation where all of a sudden those guys can fly around a little bit harder and, you know, plug holes, then you're going to be a much improved defense. Golly, this thing. I can't keep it.
Excited about the hole plugging ability of this defense.
Yes. It's going to be a good, you know.
You too.
Also, find me better Bell talk than we just did.
Take that.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we got to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the NFL, some of the other decisions that were made yesterday, and also the loss of one NFL owner that, look, you can tell the way the players felt about him by some of the comments on social media. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift, hanging out halfway through this Thursday morning. Hopefully you guys are hanging out and doing well out there in your cars.
Yes, and if you want to hang out with us, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's third annual Father's Day dinner is coming back. I've been to both of them. Mike has not. But he is
coming this year. It's my turn.
And if you want to join Mike and myself, Friday, June the 13th at Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar and Perimeter.
Just leave me out.
Wow.
That's fine.
Mm.
Allie Mack will also be there as we celebrate Father's Day with you. So go to 99thegame.com, click the contest page, and tell us why you want to treat your dad to a special dinner with Allie and the rest of the 99 The Game staff. Or if you just want to tell us why you want to bring your grandfather, your kid, your coach, anyone important in your life, it's all presented to you by my friends at Atlanta Motor Speedway, where NASCAR returns June 28th for the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart, and brought to you by Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar. Eat, drink, and good times. Make sure you enter now for your chance to win at 92.9thegame.com.
Nice save, Squid.
Yeah, nice save.
What did I save?
Allie did not.
You saved the part about Allie.
Yeah. That was all scripted.
Oh, that was scripted. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I set Allie up to tell us that she'd be there too.
Allie's your Is your dad
going to
be a...
My dad is going.
Let's
I went to Lazy Dog yesterday and met up with my mom. And I was like, I get to bring dad here in a couple weeks. She's like, I know.
I'm going to absolutely grill your dad. I'm going to be like, hey, what'd you think about Grant the first time you met him?
He's so cool.
Oh, man. Yeah. I do want to look. We're going to get in the hole in just a second. Got three or four pieces of NFL news we want to get to. I want to bring Allie in on a conversation that was very, this is like one of the most passionate conversations we had in the history of this show.
Uh-oh.
This happened, I don't know, 6 months ago. And I know Dylan and Bo will remember this the minute I say it. Yesterday, okay, so the last 2 days I've taken my dog for a walk in my neighborhood. Okay. And this conversation came up about when or if it is okay to throw your dog's poop in somebody else's trash can in your neighborhood. Now, I know you're a recent home buyer.
Yes.
And I'm assuming you guys walk your dogs at least some point.
Yep.
This conversation spiraled so much to the point where I think we put a vote up and it was like 49 to 51 of like people that are like, do not touch my trash can. And the other half of the people were like, it's a freaking trash can. Who really cares? I'm curious where you fall on this conversation. Is it ever okay to throw your dog's poo into someone else's trash can?
It is not. No.
Yeah, you're big against this.
Yeah, I'm big against this.
You're setting up the nanny cam outside.
Absolutely. I mean, I pay for that trash service. Don't put your dog poop in my trash can. I will carry the dog poop home. You know, if I'm on a walk with my dogs, I will have the little baggies and bring it all the way home.
Wow.
What if it's trash day and the trash hasn't gone by yet?
That's why I point out the last 2 days, because Wednesday morning is our trash day. So Tuesday, I was walking around going, I could just throw this away. People are putting their cans out. And Wednesday, yesterday, when I'm walking the dog, after the trash come, like, can't do it.
You just don't know what could happen, right? Even if it's trash day, maybe the trash gets picked up and the bag gets caught in between the trash can and the dumpster and the trash
truck. I'm ashamed of you, Allie. You're such a giving person. I cannot believe you wouldn't give some small trash can space to some people so they don't have to carry their dog's poo around your neighborhood.
No. Because there could be a mess made out of it. If someone mishandles the trash for whatever reason, or if it falls or drops out, it could end up on the sidewalk. No.
You make some good points. That's probably one of the favorite things about my neighborhood is they have multiple,
where they had the bags and
where
the cans.
Where the bags, multiple.
That's smart.
There's no if you don't pick up your dog's poo in my neighborhood, you're just a jackass.
Right. Picking it up, that's a non-starter. Let me just follow you up real quick. Give me 20 seconds. Have you ever cleaned out your trash can, or do you plan to clean out your industrial-grade trash can that you sit out
when
by
he
the
means
road?
Clean out, he means, like, wash
it.
Yeah. Do you think you'll ever wash it? Because I was shocked. I was shocked at the amount of people we had call in that were like, clean my trash can once a month, pressure wash. Like, so I'm like, dude, what? It's a freaking trash can.
Yeah.
And it was very passionate and very heated, the amount of people that were like, clean it out all the time.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing?
I ain't cleaning out my trash can for sure. But as far as putting if I had a dog, I would not put my dog's poop in another person's trash can. Me personally, I just would carry it or find the nearest, little poop dump trash can that are all around. I'm not gonna sit on surveillance and watch to see if anybody else does it.
Right.
But I would rather people not.
I find
it's just great. Like it's a community, man. We're all dog owners.
I think I'd like to put you out on a hot summer day walking around with your dog's poop in your hand, and there's just a bunch of trash cans sitting there, and I would love to see how – you could sit back in that chair and be all high and mighty right now, Dylan, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a real urge.
You know exactly how he'll react when that happens. He's going to walk home with a big smile on his face, still holding that poop. That's what's going to happen.
Exactly. I'm going to feel good about myself because I didn't put anybody else's trash can.
I'm a good person.
I have designed my route to make sure that the pool is like halfway in the walk so that the pool trash can be the one that's up.
But
you know what I mean?
Community.
Like, there's exactly. That's a community trash can.
Different.
Yeah. I don't know. I disagree. I'm like, dude, if you know where I live and you're listening, you are more than welcome to put your dog's poo in my trash can.
I'm going to purposely drive over there.
Yeah. She's going to box it all up from a week and go over and dump it out. Hey, let's go in the huddle. We'll get to a new award in Hard Knocks in just 1 second. Unfortunately, some sad news from the NFL realm. The Colts owner and CEO Jim Irsay dies yesterday at age 51. He's had a number of health issues over the years. He's had some personal issues as well, but guys, I think I feel very firm in saying that the reactions from former Colts players, from people around Indianapolis, from people around the state of Indiana and the NFL, you can see the outpouring of support, and it kind of points to the man he was in a personal space and the relationships that he was able to attain in his time as the Colts owner. It's just you saw Reggie Wayne, obviously Peyton Manning, all of these former legends coming out and talking about how great of a man he was.
Everybody that's ever said anything negative about Jim Irsay, from my knowledge, never knew him and didn't have time to be around him. Everybody that I have known that has known him personally, or you hear the people that knew him on a personal level, like the Peyton Mannings and the Pat McAfees, and others as well, have just raved about the human being he was. I know that there's a person I know that, and I'm not going to say their name, it's their story, but in the NFL community, their grandfather passed, and the first person to respond and do anything for that person was Jim Irsay.
No kidding.
And it was personal. It was came from Jim Irsay. It wasn't like he had a lot of demons, as everyone has noted, but the human being was real, really, really good human being.
No doubt about that. And obviously, like I said, you can tell from the outpouring of support. So thoughts and prayers up with the Irsay family. In some lighter news, it sounds like we got some clarity on some of the programming we'll be seeing this fall, Allie.
Yes, if you are a fan of Hard Knocks, the Buffalo Bills are going to be featured this summer during training camp. It premieres August 5th. It's the first time they've been selected for the series, and if you're wondering, wait, that's against the rules. No, it's changed. They are now eligible because they changed the rule. It was that teams that made the playoffs in the last 2 years could opt out. Not the case anymore, so Josh Allen, smile for the camera. And in December, the end season will focus on the NFC East.
Yeah.
I had no idea how many rules went into who can and who can't, or who can opt out of these seasons of Hard Knocks.
And there's so many different versions of it now. You mentioned the end season. You get to spring. It's just crazy. They had to, change rules because, obviously, nobody wants to be a part of this anymore, right. Especially after Joe Shane last year with the Giants is like, and his kids telling him to draft Jaden Daniels.
Well,
just brutal, man.
And that's the one that sucked, is I thought, to me, my favorite one was the off-season one.
Yeah, I agree. It was most enlightening, for sure.
Because, I mean, that's where you got, to me, that was the real insight. I know some people didn't like it. I thought that was the best because you got to see this, and they botched it. The Giants botched it, not the Hard Knocks.
Yeah, it was not fun, though, I will say, as a player, having Hard Knocks around.
Really?
Like, they were just straight up, hey, by the way, ding. You're going to eat at Chili's today. Y'all are all going to eat at Chili's. They were like, what? Why? Oh, we're going to buy y'all lunch at Chili's. And they're just sitting there hovering with microphones hoping for a quote. It was never even used, because we were like, we're not saying anything. We're not going to talk on here.
They joined.
They try to set you up.
Why would they join? Why would they go watch the offensive linemen? I mean,
did they think the conversation?
Would they think they were going to get a bunch of guys talking about what they should name an award after them? I mean, what?
Here we go.
We think because we're the protectors of the team. We should name it the protector award. Oh, Mike! By the way, how do you feel about the protector award now?
Go ahead and get your referee jersey on. I'm just telling you, he better not misstep on me.
I think it's great that they're going to award the big uglies because look, you only talk about them when they screw up, which that's par for the course, right? But this has to be the corniest name in the entire world, right?
It is. I was literally saw this name, this award yesterday, and I was like, this sounds like the Nickelodeon Sports Awards.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, this sounds like something that just straight up is on Nickelodeon. They wouldn't even name this for an ESPY. It wouldn't be called the Protector
Award. What if they called it the Bodyguard Award?
No.
I have an idea.
You'd have to play Whitney Houston then.
Exactly.
What if they did a award for the best offensive lineman, the best defensive lineman of the year, and they called it the Trenches Award. So one offensive lineman would get it, and one defensive lineman would get it.
I'm pretty sure they already do a defensive lineman award.
Yeah.
Oh, do they?
Well, they do in college, but that's different.
I'm with you. I would call it the Trenches Award, but it's just pretty simple. You got 1 year, and it's got to be a name. And it's exactly what they did in college, the Joe Moore Award in college. You went with the whole offensive line. It's just the Joe Moore. You didn't say, this is the whole offensive line award. This is the Protectors Award. No, you just went with a name. Let's not make it corny, man. We're getting like this. I don't know. I was like, yes, award. What's it called? The Protector Award. What in God's name? Who signed off on this?
It was one of those womp womp.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, it's like Bo asked me earlier. He's like, who's the best old lineman? I don't know. You can name it John Hanna or Anthony Munoz or something, man. Somebody in there.
I don't know why when I heard the name of the award, I thought Pocket Protector. and saw the nerdy glasses.
Offensive linemen are fine with taking a back seat and things. That's okay. But you don't have to go one step further by naming the award about, taking a back seat. Can we just stand on our own 2 feet every now and then? Anyways, man, don't get even caught on my soapbox just now. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the NBA playoffs. Crazy game, obviously, last night, and we'll hit a mic'd up. I think I have stumbled upon the perfect couple getaway for my wife and I this weekend. I'll tell you where I'm going and what she's going to be doing the entire time. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Halliburton, he'll take it, he'll backpedal, a three for the win, and oh! He got it!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's the Morning Shift at 7:44 with Mike Bo, myself, Ellie Mack. And of course, NBA playoffs. They were intense last night, as you just heard, with the Eastern Conference. Pacers beat the Knicks in overtime, 138-135. Game two is tomorrow at 8 o'clock at Madison Square Garden. And of course, Halliburton had to pull the choke move.
And you love it. And honestly, you love it a little bit. I had this stat, and I'll have to make sure I give credit to whoever it was that I saw this on Twitter yesterday. But how about this one? The last 27 years, going all the way back to 1998, 970 NBA teams have been down by 14 points in the playoffs with less than 3 minutes to go. And until last night, they were 0-970.
Wow.
It's the first team in the last 27 years to be down by 14 inside of 3 minutes to actually come back and get a victory. Now, we thought it was going to be in regulation. Shout out to Tyrese Halliburton. He's like, oh, I probably wouldn't have done that if I'd have known it was a two.
Yeah, exactly.
But nonetheless, man, crazy, crazy stuff. And it just goes along with what we've seen from the playoffs this entire time.
That shot went up so high. It
went above the shot clock.
And it hung up there for so long. I mean, that for Knicks fans in the building, that time had to stop.
Yes.
Like, it was almost like it just drug out, and then, you know, it hits. It just, man, couldn't happen to a better fan base. Halliburton better wear, like, one of those COVID face guards the next game, because they're probably going to try to spit on them like they did Trey, especially after the choke sign. I'm sorry. I have no love loss. Like, I think we forget in this city, if you're pulling for the Knicks and you're like, well, you know, they haven't won it in a while. Okay, well, the Pacers have never won it, so there you go. But if you're in any way having sympathy on Knicks fans and wanting pulling for them, I think just remember, Dylan, 2021, they spit on our guy, on our star. They spit on him. Didn't do anything like the trash talk was bad. They talked about his hairline. Okay, I give you that. It's rough sometimes, but they spit on the man.
Don't give him that. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I mean, Bo, to your point, it's F the Knicks around here in the city of Atlanta. It's straight up F them. But I want to go back to that point you made about how time kind of probably froze for the Knicks fans when that shot bounced up, caromed up so high. It reminded me of, just when you said that, it reminded me of the Kawhi Leonard shot in the second round a couple years back when that shot went around and it finally dropped. And he sent the Sixers fans home, made Joel Embiid cry when he was walking to the locker room. But no, that was a very, very impressive, gritty performance from the Pacers. And talked about earlier today, I think the depth of the Pacers really showed off last night. Obi Toppin came in and gave good minutes, got some big rebounds. TJ McConnell came in and he put in some nice work. And I mean, talk about a guy like Aaron Nesmith stepping up with 30 points in the flurry of threes. I mean, that
six
was
in
huge.
The fourth quarter.
Six in the fourth quarter.
Did you go back and watch all the threes?
Yeah.
So I went back and watched all the threes. He like
it's not like he's wide open.
Every three, his legs were flailing like he's Draymond Green trying to kick somebody. Yeah. I mean, it was like wild. Like every
the old
one
scissor
of them
technique on the jump shot.
Dude, they were all ridiculously off balance. One leg's going this way, the other's going that way. I mean, it's like
look like the Jumpman logo.
Dude, it was wild. It was absolutely wild. And dude stepped straight up. And then Halliburton, that's the only that I love the fact that Halliburton did an ode to Reggie. it just – he's the star of the team now, right? I mean, he's that star. But it just – Reggie did it himself. Okay, Reggie led the comeback in 94, and he got red hot, him and that little doohickey he used to wear on his finger. And he – dude, Reggie Miller has the longest fingers of human – it is weird. Anyways, he led it, and so when he does it to Spike, Spike had been jawing at him. So that, along with the fact that it wasn't a game winner and the fact that Neesmith was the guy that brought him back, it just rang a little bit empty to me, but I love the ode to it. I love the fact that he's embracing the rivalry that was in the 90s, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad. Like I said, blank the Knicks.
Well, and to ask you guys this, Dylan, I think that you would have – the Knicks fans would have said, look, give me 43 out of Brunson and 35 out of Karl Anthony Towns, you win in the game. And I think that speaks to your point about the depth that you saw from Indiana, because it's like, oh, dude, yeah, you give me 43. Like, you, hey, we went running away with this thing. So I don't know, and I guess the question will be moving forward, like, what's the path for the Knicks if that's not the blueprint? Now all of a sudden you're like, this ain't good.
But that's the point, Dylan. Yeah. I want to ask you, because you mentioned this earlier. You said, well, the Knicks the depth is nothing on the Pacers bench. I don't disagree. I mean, the Pacers got guys like Obi Toppin and McConnell, but when Brunson goes out with his fifth foul, that's when the Knicks got that 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. That's when they expanded their lead to 14 when Brunson's out off the court.
And I think part of the reason is because Jalen Brunson, the way they want to play when Jalen Brunson's into the game is, to me, a lot different than when a guy like Cameron Payne is running the mm-hmm. show. Because Jalen Brunson, obviously the offense, as it rightfully should, flows through him when he's in the game, right?
Right.
And Jalen Brunson's game is more slow. He wants to get to his spot. He might want to back a guy down and things of that nature. So the offense for the Knicks in for that reason is much more slow. And we know the Pacers want to play up-tempo. They want to play, no pun intended, at a pace. When campaign is in the game and the offense not flowing through him, the Knicks are more likely and a little bit better at playing at that up-tempo game. So I think, to your point, that's why they built that lead, because they could play more at the tempo of the Pacers. And with the Pacers and the Knicks playing the same type of game, I think if the Knicks are able to do that, it can favor them. But that's just not their game when those guys are out there.
Yeah. Be curious to see how this one rolls on, obviously. And like I said all along, man, the NBA playoffs have been great so far. It's been one of the better playoffs I can remember. I think this one just smells like seven games. Just smells like seven games.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to have a conversation about two things. White lies to your spouses and passenger etiquette. Let's hit it. First, let me start this conversation by saying my wife and I both grew up in the panhandle of Florida. Mm-hmm. Right? When it comes to Memorial Day weekend, usually not headed to a body of water. Like, that was just something that happened. When you grow up in Florida, you don't go to the beach on Memorial Day weekend. You're like, that's for the tourists, man.
Right.
You know what? We'll let the tourists have that one. So we are actually headed to Charlotte this weekend. Let me start off by saying that my wife and I will be climbing into the car Friday afternoon, and I have set regulations for my wife in the car. And I don't know if you guys deal with this or not. She has reluctantly come around to said regulations, all right? But usually it's about if we are in the car for 4 hours, you're not on your phone for any more than 2 hours. Like, I need you to talk to me.
I can understand that.
I have time where, whoa, I'm like, hey, if you want to get a nap for an hour, I'll lock in with a cup of coffee. I'll keep it between the mustard and the mayonnaise.
Hold on, I want to clarify.
Okay,
you want your wife to talk to you on a road trip?
I would like to have company. Yeah, I'd like to have company in my car when there's not kids around. Yes, absolutely. I'm like, hey, lock in on this thing.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, I like my wife. That's why
I'm just clarifying. I mean, I like my wife,
too. I was actually thinking about this in terms of you, and I was like, I can't think of a time that Bo's ever said that he was in the car for more than 30 minutes or an hour with his wife.
Oh, no.
When's the last time y'all road trip somewhere?
Hilton had a few times. I mean, we've made quite a few road trips. Okay. But
y'all's family lives here. My point is, like, we're always going to see family and everything else. So it's different.
But a lot of times, and this is the reason why I asked about it, because a lot of times what I do is we leave as early as we can, and I tell her, just sleep. Sleep
all
the time. Yeah, because I like to lock in. I like to listen to music.
Good
I like to listen
her.
To a podcast or whatever. I'm locked in, and I, like, one of the best road trips we ever took, made it to Destin in, like, 4 hours.
I wouldn't admit that out loud for the public record. That sounds like something illegal happened.
Well, we left at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
No, it was 5 a.m. And, we were there. No, it was 4 because we landed there at 8:15. And I'm telling you, dude, Like, she sucked the whole way, and it was phenomenal.
I'm sure
No stops.
I'm sure she loved you for that because you were just cool with her sleeping. I am going to take one on the chin and say I'm not cool with that. I'm like, you need to wake up and talk to me. Nonetheless, there's another one that's probably going to shine me in a bad light. We are going to the Coke 600 this weekend. It's on Sunday evening. It's the longest NASCAR race of the season. Now, she is aware that we are going to a NASCAR race, and okay. I have talked her into this by saying we're never going to be those people that go to a body of water Memorial Day weekend, mm-hmm. right? So, like, count that out. Let's just go to Charlotte. We're going with another couple, which she's excited about. I told her I'd take her to a nice dinner mm-hmm. If we go over there. And then I told her she can leave the Coke 600 whenever she wants to, right? So if it's good, hey, she's probably going to stay. If it's, somebody's out by 12 seconds ahead of the field, she'll probably, grab the car and go home, and I can just Uber or ride with friends or whatever else. The other half of this, though, is our Saturday plans. Now, I have told my wife, I'm going to lean in here a little bit just in case she's listening. I've told her we're going to a vineyard on Saturday. I'm like, hey, would you like to go to a vineyard on Saturday?
Very nice.
She's like, oh, my gosh, it sounds like such a good idea. The weather's going to be good. Let's go have a glass of wine. Let's do it up. Let's do frilly couple stuff. I did not tell her, and this name will ring a bell with Bo in his brain. We're going to the Richard Childress Vineyard, all right? And for anybody that doesn't know, he used to own Dale Earnhardt's team. He still owns our friend of the show, Austin Dillon's car owner. He's Austin Dillon's grandfather. We're going to the Childress Vineyard so that we can hit the Childress Racing Museum while we are at the vineyard.
She's going to want to know why all the wines are named after NASCAR drivers.
They're in so much trouble.
Why is this the Intimidator Sangria? I don't
Yeah, Mike, I fear you might be cooked.
Yeah, might be cooked, dude.
Yeah. I fear you might be cooked.
She doesn't know, and I hope she's not listening right now.
Are you saying this on the radio just to, like, get a buffer so she knows without you?
Somebody
having to tell
will tell her today. Even if she's not listening live, one of her coworkers might be, or one of her friends, and they're like, dude, did you know you're going to the Childress Vineyard on Saturday? So you thought you were just getting this ritzy Napa type feel over in Western North Carolina? Turns out, go check out some stock cars while we're over there. However, I did tell her that I'm going to the NASCAR Museum at some point, or the NASCAR Hall of Fame, I'm sorry. I was like, you can sleep through that. You don't have to come to that.
She might get it when it's a Chardonnay Earnhardt. Like, what, that's Chardonnay? Yeah. No, it's Chardonnay Earnhardt.
Quick fun fact, Mike, you and I will both be in Charlotte Saturday. Yeah, Simone and I are going to Charlotte for a friend's baby shower.
Yeah. Well, look, if you want to come to the NASCAR Hall of Fame, let me know.
Well, you can tell who makes money on this show. Allie's going to be – Allie's going to work.
I am working this weekend.
Yeah,
I also have to work this weekend. I'll be coming back probably Saturday night because I have a show. I have an extended edition of the Hometown Take 12 to 2, so I'll be working too, Bo.
Do you ask Simone to stay awake in your car?
Nah, I don't care.
Really? I'll stay awake the whole time.
Hold on. I'll listen to Drake.
Hold on.
I'm cool.
Hold on. Let's be honest. He doesn't tell Simone what to do. Simone tells him what to do.
Actually, you know what? Simone's probably driving. She's like, hey,
you know what? I can't even lie. Simone will be times like, pull over, let me drive. Because she just likes to drive. So she'll just be like, pull over, let me drive.
Dude. This is so good.
Yeah. I'm not lying.
She's
no
like, get out the seat. I'm going to wheel this thing.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Dylan. Poor Dylan.
Dylan the passenger princess.
You know, you got competition in the parking deck. There was a car without a fender down there this morning. So
no kidding.
Hey, we got to roll on. Wake up calls coming up, 404-726-0929. We're going to talk a little bit about, hey, do you have any passenger etiquette? What's the rules of the road when you are in a road trip with said wife or even with the family? We're also going to touch on a little bit about the Jeff Olbrich conversation. I would like to hear from some people. What's the path forward for the Knicks now, man? Is there any coming back from this? You got choke signed. You got overtimed last night. Everything else that happened. If you want to talk NBA, hit us up as well. 404-726-0929 at 929 Morning Shift. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.